Hello, everybody. A Cal Banyan here. Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc. with, in this case, who is it? L. Ron Ferguson himself. Before we get into the show, I want to have you know that if you're watching this anywhere except calbanyan.com, you want to go there right now, because right below this video is links and supporting text and all that kind of good stuff, sometimes some graphics that help you to get the most out of what we do in each video podcast. Oh, a couple quick little announcements. I want you to know that, you know, we have the Week of Power, which is the advanced certification training. If you're already a hypnotherapist, you're already certified, and you want to take your practice to the next level, check out hypnosiscenter.com or hypnosis.org and check out my schedule of upcoming classes for either the Week of Power or the NGH approved Banyan Hypnosis and Hypnotherapy Certification Super Course. Why are these super courses? Because in addition to all the cool stuff, you get 5-path and 7-path self-hypnosis certification. And remember, in addition to the courses we have at our center in August at the NGH convention, we're going to have a Week of Power course there. So check the schedule right away, because there's usually, for the courses we have at our center, discounts for early registration. Okay, let me tell you about L. Ron, my co-host for these next few episodes. We're going to be doing a very special series. L. Ron is a one percenter. He takes the profession very seriously. He was a hypnotherapist before I ran into him, and then he took our Week of Power course and said, aha, this is what I want, and this is what I want more of. He studied it. He's really mastering this whole 5-path, 7-path, and other advanced techniques. He works at our center. If I know someone in the Orange County area that needs or wants hypnotherapy or hypnosis services, I feel very good and have many times recommended L. Ron Ferguson. How you doing, L. Ron?
I'm doing good, Cal.
Ah, good to hear it.
Yeah, it's, you know, this is a lot more comfortable chair than I've been sitting in.
Ah. So you're going to tell them all about why you're in the chair?
Yeah. And, you know, right after I merge myself, I'm not quite fully alert yet. Getting there. But this chair brings back a lot of pleasant memories for me, because I most recently went through some sessions with you-know-who in the chair. And just so you know, if you haven't heard, Cal Banyan is the best hypnotherapist in the world. And I know that from firsthand experience. Recently, I wanted a little bit of improvement, because we all want some improvement from time to time, and after all, I am in the self-development business. So I thought, you know, a catalyst sort of came up, and I thought, this would be a good time to get sessions. And so, here I am 2 weeks later, and what I learned from it professionally, aside from the numerous personal benefits, was just really how to take my practice to the next level. I mean, because I've done damn near 1,000 sessions here in Orange County. And what I got from going through this process, I completely believe made my age regression, my forgiveness techniques, everything in the 5-path process that I do 20 times better, and I'll tell you why.
Hold on, before you get started, I want you to kind of tell everybody, what was that like when you got the idea to do that? Oh, or how did that come about that we got the idea to do this?
You know, it was just time. Sometimes you just know something, and it was just time. It's kind of like life knocking at your door, right?
Well, cool. So, yeah, we kind of said, gosh, you know, it was really something that a lot of people would like to do, is to actually go through the hypnotherapy process themselves, go through 5-path themselves, alongside with 7-path. And we're not really doing so much a personal case history here. I know that Celeste did that a number of episodes ago with some clients. That's really not what we're doing with this. What we want to do is really share, let the many benefit from the experiences of the few, which would be, in this case, you, what you got out of the process that is transforming or taking your practice to the next level. Is that right? Is that why you wanted to do this?
That's exactly why I wanted to do it, Cal.
Cool. Well, it's all yours.
Yeah, well, the problem is going to be being able to narrow it down, because there's so many things that are just so specific that just trying to cram in there. I mean, what I want to do is I want to start just from the very beginning, going through the phases of five path that I went through and the tips that I picked up along the way that I think are very, very important. And some of them are things that I knew about that I didn't pay enough attention to, and there are other things that were totally new to me that I learned that I'd like to share with you guys.
You told me you got like 30 different like kind of insights that you want to share. Is that right?
That's right. That's cool. Right. But as I look at them, yeah, some of them really need to be watered down because they're very heavily jargon-based.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we're going to do is we realize that some of you guys, your listeners and viewers out there, you know, you're different levels of skill and experience. And so we'll be talking about some advanced stuff, but, you know, from time to time, we'll kind of say, well, we'll take a step back and explain that. And so you advanced people out there, please be a little bit patient with us. And you can always fast forward if we're a little bit too slow for you. So, you know, kind of asking your permission to do that, you know, make this available to both, you know, basic new people and advanced people at the same time. So we might have to explain some terms. All right, roll with it, Elron.
All right, you just stop me if I get too specific, all right?
How's it feel in that chair?
It feels good. Boy, I have some pleasant memories.
Oh, roll on.
Either that's a good joke or a bad joke, right? Well, one of the first things I wanted to cover was, you know, in Five Path, one of the most important phases that we begin with is a preparation, testing, and convincing phase, which was easy for me because I was already prepared, tested, and convinced because, after all, I do this business. I didn't need to watch a pre-talk video or anything else like that. It was quite interesting for me to have the experience of filling out the paperwork and the benefits form. And I took it upon myself to really think, you know, what would a client go through when they are filling out this benefits form? And it kind of brought a few insights to me, just like how, you know, because being a hypnotherapist, I wanted to language it in a way that would make it easier for the hypnotherapist. But I thought, you know what? I'm just going to write down my benefits like a client would in negative terms. Like, I want to stop doing this. I want more of this. Instead of writing them out in perfect suggestion form, right? I just wrote down what the issues were. And I found that to be a really effective way to do it. It's just something I recommend as an interesting experience to do with your own paperwork. Fill it out yourself as if you were going to get sessions. And, you know, I think you'll get something out of it for all you viewers out there. But aside from that, one of the most important things that I experienced was just how thorough and relentless Cal was with the sessions, and how I always felt like I was watched with an eagle eye. Okay, because at times your clients will be having internal experiences that are hard to ascertain unless you really, really watch them. Because insights can be happening inside of a person at all times, and it's up to us to catch them and then point them out. Like if we see a shift in their breathing or their face or their expression, or if we see them take a sigh, that means that usually something is going on. And so there was several times where that happened to me, where I tilt my head and I think or something like that, and Cal would say, "What just happened?"
So now, are you talking about mainly in the age? Are you going to kind of go through this like phase by phase, or are you doing an overview now? Or?
Well, it's sort of phase by phase. What I noticed was that this happened mostly for myself in age regression.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but this is just like one of the general things that I wanted to point out of great importance.
And one of the things I want to stress also is that when we start doing Five Path and these advanced techniques, we're really talking about an insight process. And so when you see that your client has had like an aha, an epiphany, an insight, you really want to know what that is, because you're going to use that in the segue and to make any direct suggestion work you do more powerful. Go ahead. I told you you'd do 90% of this, but you know me.
Hey,
I have to talk.
It's okay. Bail me out whenever you want, Cal. After all, I am in the chair and I'm, you know, feeling kind of in that state. So, I say, "What just happened?" And that's just so important. And it also kind of brings to mind the importance of just doing live sessions. I mean, live sessions compared to telephone sessions or Skype sessions, they got to be 50% or more better. I think they're 100% better, personally. I'm biased. I know Cal's biased. And it's just one of those things that you got to decide for yourself in your own practice how much more you can do with live sessions. I mean, I know that if somebody can't get to you, they just can't get to you, and maybe Skype sessions or you know, telephone sessions sessions are all you have. But just speaking from the client's perspective, for me personally, some of those moments where I felt Cal was pointing out those little aha moments that he was able to pick up by watching my physiological state, those are some of the most important moments to me in therapy. And so if, for you hypnotherapists out there, if there's ever a client who they could get in to see you, but they just don't want to, and for any reason you could influence them to come in anyway, you really should, okay? Because after all, it really is in their best interest to do live sessions with you, especially if you're going to have an eagle eye to pick up on those things.
And when you say live, let me just kind of rephrase that for everybody.
In person.
By that you mean in person, you know.
In person.
In person, yeah.
No, pre-recorded sessions.
Right, right.
In person, tactile, living, breathing sessions with your clients. Absolutely.
Right.
Okay. The next thing I wanted to cover, yeah, and this goes along the same lines. Okay, during the age regression process, okay, when we are talking to the, say, the child aspect of the client, what we're doing is sharing the insight between the adult aspect and the child aspect of a client when they're psychically divided in an age regression process, and given the insight to the, you know, internal younger aspect of that client that has the problem in order to neutralize it.
Okay, Elron, before you get into too much detail, since you're into age regression, I want you to give them, you know, a 30-second overview of the age regression process, and that way everything that you're going to say then can then be contextual within that, okay? Because if you just start talking about informed child technique, some people are just going to haze over, okay?
Okay. Informed child technique. Well, in the age regression process, what we do is we take a client's presenting symptom or feeling that they don't like, exacerbate it by strengthening it in hypnosis, and then take that, we call it an affect bridge, where we follow that feeling back to an earlier time that they felt that way. Okay, and we keep on hopscotching it back through time till we get to, hopefully, one of the first times that they ever felt that way, and we call that the initial sensitizing event, which is where the problem started. Okay, from there on, what we want to do is, as I was talking about before, psychically divide the client into two parts by having the adult aspect of them, the grown-up, and the whatever age that initial sensitizing event aspect is of them. Sometimes it's just 1 or 2 years old. And start to transfer the information from the adult aspect to the younger aspect in order to neutralize the misconceptions, the cognitions, and the thoughts that cause the emotion to then be associated with the problem in the first place. Okay, so we're able to collapse those old cognitions and then take the problem away and then take it back up through the events that we followed it back down in the first place, and then if we have time, take it into age progression. So we take a client and we have them hallucinate, taking the change that we made in the beginning, reinforcing it, and then projecting it into the future in probable future situations so they can experience the change. That what you're looking for, Cal?
Yeah, and now that you've used the term hallucinate,
yes.
I just want to, you know, kind of edify for everybody. What we're talking about is when someone experiences hypnotic age regression, it's not just simply remembering an event, but reliving it. And when you relive a past event, since you're not really there, then technically that's a hallucination. Good. All right, proceed.
Thank God I got you in my back pocket, Cal. Lucky to have you. Don't you know?
Oh, never mind.
Oh, right. Get out of my back pocket. All right. So,
it wouldn't be so bad, but you're sitting down.
Yes, I know. It's kind of uncomfortable. So, what we want to do more than anything else is, after we're able to remove the fear and misconceptions of that younger aspect of the client, we want to really empower them, right? And so one of the things that I found very empowering is Cal was asking, all right, who's got the power now? Okay, and that was very, very helpful. Just to, you know, go back and forth several times and to simply not just go beyond removing those old cognitions that cause the fear, but asking the adult aspect of the client, hey, is there anything else that's really going to empower them and make a difference in their life? You know, I can't do this for you. Change his life. Give him all the information that he needs so he can XXX according to, you know, what they came in for. You know, tell him anything else so he can have all the advantages, so he can have even more an advantage than he already does now. Okay, another thing that I wanted to add to that was something that I found really powerful during that process was that is fishing for the benefits from the adult aspect of the client and asking the adult aspect of the client to really objectively say, like, okay, listen, grown up, how did you benefit from that experience? Is there any way that that benefited your life? I mean, what about the silver lining? Any way you think that made you stronger? I mean, just objectively, not thinking about what it did to you then, but how'd that benefit your life? And really getting that in place so that we can transfer that information to that younger aspect of the client so that they can experience that emotion, that perception, that cognition then of how the whole event that started the problem even benefited them, to once again send them back up out of the process with an even greater sense of empowerment, which I found very important.
Cool. Yeah, I think that's overlooked a lot. And what we're really trying to do is neutralize the misperceptions, the cognitions that are, you know, held in the subconscious mind. They're not based in reality. And as a result, they're generating emotions that are not based in reality, like irrational fears and things like that that can hold them back. So we want to just more than just neutralize the negative, but the full truth is both neutralizing the negative if it's based in false belief, but also if there was any benefit at all, you certainly want to bring it out because a lot of times I will talk about how we don't want to just go to neutral. If we can, we can actually move our clients into a state of gratitude for some of these, you know, perhaps painful experiences that have happened to them in their lives. Good point.
Thanks, Cal. Thanks for pointing that out in the first place. Yeah, it definitely is something that's just so, so important. And once again, I filed that away. It is kind of interesting experience to be going through the process as a client, right? And really being able to put yourself in the attitude of a spectator and not try to run the process. And go through the experience, be in the experience, and at the same time, there's these little red flags going off in your head going, ooh, that's a good idea. I'm going to remember to do that myself. Ooh, that's another good idea. So it really is a dance to be able to do that and red flag those things. And I just know there's plenty of things that I tried to red flag that they're just totally forgotten. Little tips, tricks, things I wanted to remember when Cal said, I'm like, oh, that's a great idea. I'm going to do that. And then it's gone. It's in the ether. Okay. I'll have to watch the session at some point a few months from now to get those things back again and then integrate those things into my practice. All right. What was next? Oh, and another thing. Let's see. With doing the age regression process, just adding to the whole theme of how thorough the process is, how thorough Cal is, yes, but how thorough you have to be if you really want to be a one percenter, right? To do age regression, the five pathway is the most thorough way to do age regression that there is ever. And part of that is because we do really have a way of looking at the client while they're going back through the events and following that feeling back and making sure that we are following the right emotion, okay, and making sure that the whole story makes sense and knowing what the feelings are, because after all, it's the thought that causes the feeling, and it's the feeling that we want to follow back, but we want to get what that thought is, and we want to get what all the cognitions are so that we can have a better chance of collapsing them later on. And something that Cal was saying very frequently when, you know, I was in the age regression process and I would have a perception about something or an event or someone doing something, Cal would say, how can you tell? And I found that to be very important because it would make that extra cognition come out. And it's something that I did before, but it's something that, once again, red flagged it in my mind. You know, let's say someone's in an event and they say, oh, well, my teacher's upset with me. How can you tell she's upset with you? Oh, because her face looks all scrunched up. Oh, okay. Because you want to make sure that you get those clear cognitions so the story makes sense. Once again, it's all about being thorough. And then when you get to the initial sensitizing event or close to it, you want to start getting more of that information so that you can have more to work with when we start to do the informing work. Anything you want to add to that, Cal?
Let me just say one thing. You know, in addition to saying something like, how can you tell, it really lets you into two things that I do that predominantly for. One is it lets you into what's going on, how they're assimilating what they're perceiving into their consciousness, into a set of beliefs. And also, it makes whatever happening more real. Like some people who, you know, I think less successful age regression hypnotherapists will say something like, look out there and tell me what you see. And that can be a real mistake if they're not fully in revivification yet and they're not, you know, seeing everything in technicolor. They will go, I don't see anything. But if they say, oh, my dad's mad at me, and maybe at that point in the age regression, it's just a feeling or a knowing, I can say, how can you tell? And then the information that was sealed in their mind that led them to be able to make that conclusion, boom, comes into reality. They say, oh, because he's got that look on his face. Oh, describe that look on his face. And then it becomes much more real, much more vivid. And from then on, you're going to have a much more realistic age regression session. Good.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe a much more intense feeling to work with. After all, because the thoughts are more fleshed out, and that's going to intensify the feeling too, and then give you a more true affect to follow back. Which brings me to the other point, where, you know, sometimes you're going through an event, and the thing is that there's usually a lot of different emotions tied to an event. And let's say you're dealing with an event that is fear-based. Well, that continuum of fear goes kind of up and down from a little bit scared to horrified, okay? And the stronger the affect is, the more reliable it's going to be to follow back to an earlier event, or the more reliable it's going to be to ascertain if that feeling is familiar or new, okay? It's going to be easier for the client to get an impression of that. A little tip that I'll share that Cal did, something that I was implementing already, but once again, red flagged it again for me, is Cal would say, you know, we'd go through the event, and he'd collect, you know, the perceptions, the cognitions, and the emotional component of what was happening. And then when things would kind of start to fizzle out a little bit, say, go to the most, when as I count from 3 back to 1, you'll go back to the most emotionally intense moment of this event. Here we go, 3, 2, 1, be there.
Let me clarify something there.
Yeah.
You use the words fizzle out, and the way I like to think of it is, so you run through an event, and the event, you know, has a beginning and an end. And in my mind, when I get to the end, now I want to, and I find out that this is familiar, or maybe I haven't done that yet, what I will do is, before I do any further regression, I want to go to the most emotionally packed part or the most meaningful part of the event. So just like you're saying, so I don't think of it so much as really fizzling out as, because that sounds like, oh, the age regression's fizzling out. I know you weren't thinking that, but I'm thinking from the listener or viewer's point of view. What happens is you've kind of come to the end of the event, and then I'll say, good, in a moment count from 3 back to 1. When I get to 1, you're going to be at the most important moment of this event. Here we go, 3, 2, 1. Or I might say the most emotionally powerful moment in this event, 3, 2, 1. And what that does is it takes me to the crux, the most important part of that event, and then I can ask the questions about the emotion or the cognition, the belief, and to decide if I'm going to do more regression. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, why, yes it is, Cal. Thank you.
You know, I'm very nitpicky about this.
Well, see, that's why I came to you for sessions, because I knew I couldn't get anything by you.
let me say something to everyone that's watching and listening. You know, I've been saying these same things over and over for years, and I'm used to saying them in really precise and clear ways. And Elrond, now he's trying to share with you something that was experiential and trying to put the words together. And so, you know, please kind of let me kind of, you know, edify that a little bit and try to give some crystal clarity the best I can to what you're sharing. And that's kind of why I'm doing that.
Yes, thank you, Cal. Thank God. Because after all, you know, your client is just kind of left with a visceral experience, okay? And you'll get that plenty of times. You ask your client back for the next week. He goes, so tell me about your experience in the chair last week. They go, yeah, I really don't remember it. Just kind of, whoa, just a blur.
Yeah, and then what I would say is, I say, what part of the session have you been thinking about, if anything?
Yeah.
And that will get back to kind of the crux of what was important from that previous session.
That's right.
Now, we're about ready to wrap this particular episode up. So we're going to have to carry this on into another episode, maybe a couple more episodes. One thing I want to say, and then I'm going to have you wrap it up, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that is, as we're thinking about this, is in your mind as the hypnotherapist, you need to have a model of why you're doing this. And so the way I teach in class is, this is what happens, is people perceive something. They hear, taste, smell something. And then they give it meaning. And that meaning becomes a belief, either a little belief or a strongly held belief. That belief is going to many times generate emotions, and the emotions are based on whether the belief is that that what they're perceiving is going to fulfill or not fulfill a need, want, or desire. So again, there's perception, and then they give meaning to it. That meaning becomes a belief, and then that belief is going to generate emotions. If they perceive that what they perceive or just perceived is likely to fulfill a need, want, or desire, then the emotions are going to be positive, nice feeling emotions. If they believe what they just perceived is not going to fulfill their needs, want, and desires, then the emotions are going to be painful. So again, there's perception, then there's meaning, that becomes a belief. The belief generates emotions, either pleasant or unpleasant. The pleasant emotions, like feeling loved and safe and secure, powerful, this stuff reinforces whatever they did that brought about what they perceived. But if it is a painful emotion, then that's kind of, in a way, kind of an internal punishment kind of thing. You do this and then you feel bad. And that then, according to like just normal behavioral psychology, it decreases the probability of that behavior in the future. Good feelings increase the probability of the behavior that brought about what they perceived. Negative feelings, painful feelings, decrease the probability. And so it's kind of that internal behavioral reinforcement loop. So one more time, there's perceptions. You give meaning to them. They become beliefs. Those beliefs generate emotions. And then the emotions modify behavior or reinforce behavior. All right, with that, go ahead and wrap up what you want to wrap up that you've covered so far. And then we're going to get into some more really cool stuff in the next episode.
I think I'll just wrap it. I couldn't articulate that any better myself, Cal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then do your little wrap-up then.
Oh, okay. I was just doing that. Thanks. This has been a really good experience, and we're going to get into more information on the next episode. If you want to learn more about this process, I strongly suggest you go to hypnosis.org. There's products. There's training schedules. I mean, our week of power that's coming up this month is all filled up. This is hot stuff. I'd like to see more of it. I'd like to see as many trainings a year at this center as possible. And I think we're going to have to accommodate the demand, because, you know, word is getting around that 5-Path is the most effective, systematic approach to hypnosis out there, has success where everything else has failed. And I know that from firsthand experience and another kind of firsthand experience. So I can really vouch for that. Thanks for watching. See you next episode. This is L. Ron Ferguson, signing off.
Thank you, L. Ron. And another quick announcement, free. New video, How to Hypnotize, is on hypnosis.org. Just go to hypnosis.org, push the play button at the video at the top, and I'll explain to you how to get the new How to Hypnotize video. It's a combination of some old stuff and some new stuff. And then I'm also going to explain how you can get another free video on insider tips, tricks, and techniques on how to make inductions work even better. And I want to encourage everybody watching this video to become a VIP member. And somewhere on this page where you're looking, probably near the top, is a Become a VIP button or link. And you know what that means? You get instant access to over 100 of the videos we've done so far, and you can just pick through the list, and it's a really good thing. All right, more cool stuff coming. This is Cal Banyan signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.